Stacy, how was your weekend?
Oh, very uneventful.
That's an amazing weekend.
I had some canceled plans in there as well, which was like icing on the cake.
Yeah, actually, you missed it. When you weren't here, I was talking about how just doing absolutely nothing is the best feeling in the world.
But you know what? Everybody needs to have one of those weekends every once in a while. I have some friends who are the, like, go, go, go all the time doing things.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they do it. Because I'm very much the opposite. And so even if you do have like a super busy life, it is nice sometimes to just spend a day doing nothing.
Absolutely. Today, maybe some interesting national days for you. It's National Laundry Day. So
I did it yesterday.
Did you? You
son of a gun.
Yeah, you jumped the gun a little bit there. So there's that. And on top of that, there is National That Sucks Day. So, you know.
Do we really need a day to celebrate that?
Cause yeah, think about this. Like when the Titanic sucked. When the Titanic sank, it sucked. You're like, oh, that sucks.
You know is today the day the Titanic sunk?
I don't think it was today was the day the Titanic sunk. But
I think it was yesterday.
Actually?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
You're doing your Googles now.
When did the Titanic sink? April 14th,
1912. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Impressive. Actually, it's not impressive because you didn't know off the top of your head. So
I was confirming it.
Okay. All right. It's 6:09 here, and we are going to hopefully have a good day. It's Monday, all right?
I hope it doesn't suck.
The list of countries with the biggest butts in the world.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers don't deny.
It has officially come out, and it's a pretty interesting one. Some countries, which I would have thought, like, you know, they would have been top of the list, definitely not at the top of the list. Take a stab in the dark. What do you think is the number one country with, like, the biggest hip size?
Biggest hip size?
Yeah, butt, hip size, same thing.
Is it the U.S.?
No, it's actually not the U.S.
Okay.
It is South Africa. 41.76 inches. That is the average woman's hip size in South Africa. Guess where Canada landed on this list?
10?
10? Wow, yeah.
Oh. Amazing.
Amazing. The average hip size here for Canadian women, 40.3 inches.
See, now I'm curious. I want to know what mine is.
Oh, we'll measure. We'll measure here today.
Okay.
And America came in at number 12, which I don't know if that's true, you know, because we've seen the portions of food that they've eaten over there. So they're saying that the hip size is only 40.
But see, hip size and butt size, I think, would be
two different things.
I thought so.
You think so?
Because someone can have a very narrow waist, but a badunkadunk in the back, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so, but maybe you're right. But also on this list, France coming in at 40.25.
France, I would never have thought that
at all. At all, like there are a few European countries on this thing. And I was damn shocked. I'm not gonna like I was expecting a lot of South American.
Brazil are they on the list? They have to be.
Brazil's not on the list. Okay. Surprisingly, yeah. You have Sweden on this list. You have Germany. You have Russia, Italy, Australia, the Netherlands.
Weird.
Right? Pretty crazy.
You might not have noticed yet, and I think today's the first day. I wasn't downtown yesterday, but e-scooters are back on the streets of Saskatoon.
Yeah, saw them here this morning. I was like, whoa, oh, okay.
I saw them, like, I saw the white van pull up, and at first I thought my car was getting booted. For that's some reason, terrible. That's where my mind went. I was like, oh my God, he's going to boot my car. But no, he dropped off some scooters. And there's currently three outside of the station here, 1st and 21st. It's interesting. Saskatoon has two scooter companies.
Yeah.
The silver ones and the orange ones. And the silver company won. They got theirs out first.
And now, is it just...
I know it's not a competition.
Is it just... are you just going to find them downtown, or do you find them all over the city?
Mostly downtown. But then, of course, you find them all over the city. Where people just... my charge ran out. My time ran out. And you just see one, like, randomly on Taylor Street, you know? It's just... They show up in weird places. When we phone a business or something and get put on hold...
The worst thing in the world.
It sucks.
Yep.
But there's always, I should say, always some sort of entertainment for your ears, some kind of on hold music, some kind of message. And the reason that is because it lets people know that they're still actively connected, right? If you don't hear anything, you're like, am I on hold? Like, did they disconnect me?
Yeah, but sometimes you want to hear like absolutely nothing. Because how many times can you hear, your business is important to us? A customer representative will be with you in just a minute.
I know. Those ones are annoying, too. I just want to talk to a real person, quite frankly. But it's really interesting. The history of on-hold music started in, like, 1962. There was a guy, his name was Alfred Levy, owned a factory and was having trouble with the phone lines running into the building. Somewhere there was a wire touching the girders in the building, and it basically picked up a local radio station. And so anytime someone phoned the building, they could hear the music, but it was even louder when they were on hold.
Oh.
Fast forward a few years, the guy develops a machine that puts the radio in your ear while you're on hold. So that was back in 1962. And since then, of course, you know, you get tons of different kinds of music in your ear. But this one was created in 1989. A 16-year-old computer nerd named Tim Carlton and his friend Derek recorded this 6-minute loop. And you'll recognize it. It's almost just too groovy.
It brings a sense of frustration.
Do you want to know? It's actually called Opus Number 1. There's a name for it. So
that's
if you're ever on hold and you hear that.
I mean, thank you for the history. Could I have done without that music this morning? Because now I'm just in utter shock and I feel like I'm still waiting on hold for something.
You're welcome.
Do you consider yourself a good neighbor?
I think so.
Yeah?
I've shoveled other people's walks before.
Okay.
And told them if their garage door is open or something like that, you know?
Yeah, that's a pretty good neighbor. I thought I was a good neighbor until last night.
Uh-oh.
One of the neighbors came knocking on my door, and they asked me if I had, like, super cliche, if I had any, like, sugar and baking soda. And I was so dumbfounded. Thing is, I did have sugar and baking soda, but I was like, nah, I don't got that. And I sent them away.
How come?
But this is the reason. I had never talked to them before a day in my life. I don't know them. They just came knocking on the door. And maybe it's just because, like, our units are right across the hallway from each other.
Yeah.
Right? So we have, since the time I've moved in and they've moved in, we've never really said a word or anything to each other. Mm-hmm. I saw them move in, but never said hello. They didn't say hello. And for some reason, I was like, where do you get off? I'm like, we've never talked before. You think you could just come knock on my door and ask me for stuff? Absolutely not.
That's a great way to break the ice, as opposed to just like random highs in the hallway. This one, you know, lets you have a little conversation, and it's just some sugar and baking soda, right? It's just baking.
Yeah, but again, I go to the point. We've never said hello to each other. I think there has to be that first contact to be like, oh, hey, what's up? I'm Zenga. I'm Charlotte, whatever her name is. And then we can go from there. Be like, oh, if you ever need anything, you know, I'm just across the hallway. You can just ask.
Yeah.
There was that offer on both sides was never put out.
So you want some small talk first, and then she can ask for some sugar.
Right. It's like, buy me dinner first before you try to lay me down, smack him, yak him. I was just sharing with you how my neighbor across the hallway came and knocked on my door for the cold cliche sugar and baking soda. Immediately turned them away. I was like, nah, I don't got it. Meanwhile, I did have sugar and baking soda.
Did you feel bad afterwards, or are you still firm in your decision to just deny them what they needed?
Firm. Again, like, there was no chat prior to like knocking on the door. And I get it, right? When you live in an apartment building, it's a bit of a community. You know, you're hoping that you can rely on your neighbors when you're in a bit of a jam or whatever. Mm-hmm. I get that. But there needs to be that first contact where you just introduce yourselves and be like, hey, you know what? Put that offer out there. If you ever need anything, just come knock on my door.
Right.
It wasn't there.
What if she would have been like, oh my God, I cut my finger. Do you have a Band-Aid? You're like, no, nope, sorry.
I'd be like, call 911. What am I? A pharmacy? I'll be knocking on my door asking me for Band-Aids and foolishness. I don't know you.
Foolishness. We got a text, 9380963, from No Meat Charcuterie Trevor. I feel you missed an opportunity to build a new relationship and spread some goodwill in the world. It might have made their day and led to a wonderful friendship.
Yeah. I mean.
See?
Again. there wasn't that initial contact. And so
what if she was so shy that she couldn't do the initial contact, but then she's like, ooh, I know, I'll ask for a cup of sugar. That's like cliche. Everyone loves that question, and he's bound to have some sugar.
Yeah, but this is also, by the way, also, I had brown sugar and plain sugar as well, too.
Oh, my God. All the sugars. And brown sugar is hard to find.
I know. Someone says on the text line, maybe that was the first contact. That is kind of rude. I'm sorry. I'm standing firm. You can't just be going knocking on a random stranger's door asking them for sugar when you've never, ever introduced yourself to them in the first place.
You and I were talking, I guess it was on Friday, about how actors had turned down roles for certain movies. We made a reference to Will Smith turning down the role of Neo in Matrix for his role in Wild Wild West.
Classic movie.
And you had the audacity to say that. Classic movie. And we got into a little bit of a back and forth about how that's ridiculous. Well, my thoughts were that was ridiculous. Wild Wild West is not a classic.
It very much is a classic movie. Before that, I don't think I ever saw something quite like that. And if anyone who's like, oh, don't tell me what happened, listen, if you haven't seen the movie by now, you're not going to see it at all. So when they had like the massive metal spider out there and this train that transformed a little bit, like it's one of those movies that is just, it's just a classic.
Okay. I did some research on the old internet.
Okay.
And a classic movie is defined by a sense of significance surrounding the film. Iconic scenes, lines of dialogue, interpretations, costumes, cinematography choices, musical themes all contribute to it being a classic.
Hey, all that is in that movie. Even Will Smith, there's like a cowboy rapping thing at the end of the movie. That big old monster metal spider, I had never seen something like that before in cinematography up until that point.
Classics are like, and again, classics, it's very subjective, right? So I guess you are entitled to say that you think it's a classic, but like Shawshank Redemption, Breakfast at Tiffany's, Forrest Gump.
See,
when Harry Met Sally, Sleepless in Seattle. All right, I could go on.
But here's the difference, right? I think this is where we're having a little bit of an issue. So I think this movie, Wild Wild West, with Will Smith, is a classic. Forrest Gump, Shawshank Redemption, those are iconic films.
Oh,
there is
one level up yet.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
There's iconic levels to this stuff. It is. Think about it. Forrest Gump is an iconic film. If you're like someone said, oh, what Tom Hanks film should I watch? One of the first films that's going to come out of your mouth is Forrest Gump. Has to be.
Fair enough.
So there's a difference.
Interesting. Today's a big day in the United States of America because former President Donald Trump goes on trial today for some hush money kind of situations. You know a lot more about U.S. politics than I do. I just know that he is making history as the first former president to stand trial on criminal charges. Dun, dun, dun.
See, what I don't, like, I haven't actually followed this hush money like case. I know the gist of it, right? Like Stormy Daniels, the porn star. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he allegedly they had a relation, and then he paid her a bunch of money to keep things quiet. Which, in my eyes, I'm like, what's the problem? Like, I know that sounds crazy to some people. But I'm like, what's the problem? You know what I mean?
That's the thing is, when you're running for president, it becomes a problem because you have a different set of, rules to follow, would think.
But
and he broke all of them. all of them.
I just, like, I'm interested as anyone else to see how this all turns out. But at the end of the day, for me, I'm like, all right, two people, they had some relations, and the one's like, oh, damn, I'm about to run for president. I need you to keep things quiet. Plus, I got a wife. So here's, $300,000. Let's keep things under wraps.
And this was
I didn't know that was illegal. I was like,
Well, it was because I think it's where the money was coming from. He falsified internal Trump Organization records as part of a scheme to bury the damaging stories that he feared could hurt his campaign. This was all during that bus interview of the grabber by the you know what. So it was just looking pretty bad for him, and he's like, hey, take this money and shut your mouth.
Definitely got to say, I thought Stacey and I had been developing a pretty good friendship. You know, I've met her daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been working together, and I think we've been working good together. Mm-hmm. To my surprise, I find out that it's her daughter's birthday this weekend.
Yes.
Having a party. Guess who wasn't invited to that party? This guy right here. The guy who arguably you spend probably the most time with.
Like, yeah.
Like, and I'm flabbergasted as to why I wasn't invited to this party.
And I was trying to let you know how awkward I am, because I can be socially awkward. And it's weird because it comes down to, like, and we were just talking about growing up, how some people's houses were always the ones that you went to.
Yeah.
That's where you hung out. You played with all your friends. It was the house.
Uh-huh.
My family's house was never that house. I always went to other people's houses. And so just the actual act of, like, inviting people over is still foreign to me and awkward for me. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's true.
Super ridiculous.
So true.
And then on top of that, to add insult to injury, like, well, if you want to come, like, you can come. I'm like, no, I don't want to come anymore. Like, I had to ask to get myself invited to something. If I have to do that, I know, A, I'm not welcome, and B, I shouldn't even go. Look, it's not whether or not I'm going to show up to the party or not. I'm one of those people who I like to have the option of saying no.
Right.
Right? So if I'm going to have a party, whether or not you are coming or not, I will invite you. So I'm giving you the option to decide whether you're going to come or mm-hmm. you're not going to come. You didn't even give me that. Couldn't even occur to
me. Maybe I was going to do it tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's this Saturday. Yeah, right.